Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. It is not easy to tell just what might motivate one to obey the gospel. Some teaching, some illustration, some biblical account comes at a very crucial moment in a person's life and leads him to Christ. I baptized a man after preaching the lesson that I want to present to you just now, and as we were coming out of the water, he told me that the story of Naaman and his healing did more to help him understand the relationship between salvation and obedience than any one lesson he had ever heard. And he advised, "You ought to preach that lesson more often." Well, possibly what influenced him could influence another. And this Old Testament account certainly does shed the light of truth on some basic and fundamental matters in being saved. So let us turn in our Bible to 2 Kings chapter 5. I read aloud to you the first 14 verses, and there we find the text for this study. "Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies, and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, 'Would God my lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy.' And one went in and told his lord, saying, 'Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel.' And the king of Syria said, 'Go to, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel.' And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, 'Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy.' And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, 'Am I God, to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me.' And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he said to the king, saying, 'Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel.' So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, 'Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean.' But Naaman was wroth, and went away and said, 'Behold, I thought, he will surely come out to me, and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?' And so he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, 'My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith unto thee, wash and be clean?' And he went down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, 'Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant.'" Now Naaman was a Gentile, a captain in the Syrian army, and he was an important man in Syria, considered great in the eyes of the king and the eyes of his nation. But he was a leper. Now there was just a little maid, an Israelite. She had been taken captive by the Syrians, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And this unnamed person told Naaman's wife that there was a prophet of God in Samaria that could heal her master. Now the healing of Naaman was eventually accomplished, but not nearly so easily as it could have been if Naaman had not made things more complicated by committing certain blunders. His mistakes were much the same kind of mistakes that people make today as they seek for their spiritual healing from sin. Remember that Paul said in Romans 15 and verse 4, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning." And Naaman's first mistake was that he went to the wrong person. Naaman was told, "Go to the prophet of God in Samaria," but he went to the king of Israel. Now this upset the king of Israel, who cried, "Am I God?" In other words, he is saying, "What can I do about leprosy?" There was nothing the king could do. He had no power to heal. In fact, Israel's king considered the entire episode as an excuse for Syria to make an attack against Israel. Well, Elisha, God's prophet, heard how the king was so upset, and he sent word for Naaman to come to him. And we're made to wonder why Naaman did not seek out the prophet in the first place. That's who he was told to go see. Possibly it was his pride. After all, Naaman was considered a great man. Should he go and search for a lowly prophet? He was a man of position and a man of fame. Certainly pride keeps many people from coming to the right source for their salvation. They refuse to humble themselves before the lowly Nazarene. Oh, they want forgiveness, but without repentance, without confession, without giving up their sins. They wish to follow the doctrines and the creeds and the traditions and the feelings and the opinions of man's mind rather than simply submit to the will of God. And their attitude is what I want rather than what does God want. Let us learn early, dear friend, that there is only one to whom we can go for salvation. As Peter preached, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved," Acts 4 and verse 12, with reference to Christ. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me," John 14, 6. Jesus was humble and lowly from his birth until his death, but we must bow our will unto him, or we reject salvation. As Peter declared, "Thou hast the words of eternal life." And before there can be spiritual victory, there must be surrender to Christ without reservation. Rebellion or refusal to accept his instructions, the failure to follow his directions, it will mean our condemnation. Such it was with Naaman, and so it is with us. When Naaman left the king's palace and went to the door of the humble home of Elisha, God's prophet, but there he made his second blunder. The scripture says he stood at the door, expecting to be healed right there. Just as the king was the wrong person, the door of Elisha's house was the wrong place. Elisha sent his servant to Naaman with certain instructions. He was to go and dip in the Jordan River 7 times, and he would be healed. He had to go to the right place. The right place was the River Jordan. But this upset Naaman greatly. It was a very strange direction, to be sure, but who was he to decide what ought to be done? And he complained, "Aren't the rivers back home better than all these waters of Israel? Why can't I wash in them and be clean?" Well, the reason is, they weren't the right place. Naaman was making the mistake in thinking that the power of healing was going to be in the water itself. But the quality of the water was not what made the difference. The river that which he was to dip was the Jordan River, to be sure. But the power of healing was not the Jordan. It was not the river. It was God. And Naaman failed to realize that the power of healing would be applied to him when he obeyed what he was commanded to do. And it may well have been true that the rivers of Syria were superior to Jordan, but that's not where God said for Naaman to go. Let me tell you, friend, where we must go to receive healing from sin. It is, as the song states, "I must needs go home by the way of the cross." Redemption for man is through the blood of Christ. Paul wrote in Colossians 1:14, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." In Romans 5 and verse 9, "Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." You see, Christ died on the cross. His blood is the power that cleanses. Jesus bore our sins on the cross. We must behold Christ on the cross. We must come to that cross, his death, reach His blood, or we cannot be saved. We must make our appeal for salvation through the provision made at Calvary. Now, this is God's way of redeeming man. Now, some may be offended at the cross. They may reject the idea of the Savior having to die, even be repulsed at the use of blood. Nevertheless, the penalty for my sins and yours was paid there, in His death. And later in this lesson, we shall see how we come to reach that blood and enter into His death. But the third blunder of Naaman was that he expected to pay the wrong price. Oh, he had taken many riches with him from Syria, and he offered money and gifts and clothes and riches. There are some people who seem to think that they can buy anything if they just have enough money. But friend, there are some things that cannot be purchased with money. Simon, the former sorcerer in Acts chapter 8, thought he could buy apostolic power with money. Naaman did not realize, it seems, that the only price involved was a humble obedience to the command of God. Nothing less would suffice, and nothing more could purchase the gift he needed. Now, there was a danger that some may think they can buy their way to heaven by being generous and being liberal in their giving. Well, giving is a sacred and precious privilege and duty. But, friend, we must first give ourselves. People cannot bypass God's way and be complete. We might remember how Saul and Israel saved the animals of the Amalekites for sacrifice, but God was not pleased with sacrifices in the face of disobedience. All Naaman had to do was to dip 7 times in the River Jordan, that's all. It was so simple. Why did he balk? He was like possibly many today. He had not yet learned what God required. He had to obey if he was going to be blessed. But Naaman also wanted to follow a different plan than what the Lord said. Would you please notice his comment upon hearing the requirements? He said, "Behold, I thought." Like so many today, Naaman already had it worked out in his own mind how he ought to be healed. He had it all figured out how God was going to do it. But the plan for healing was not left to Naaman to present. It was his task to follow the plan, not make the plan. The only thinking he needed to do was to think what God wanted and then do it. Too many today have it all figured out how they're going to be saved. And what they've figured out is not what God has said at all. True enough, Philippians 1 and verse 12 tells us we're to work out our own salvation, but we're not told to work out our own plan of salvation. That belongs to God. We have to follow God's plan. And when Naaman learned that his plan was not the way, he grew angry. The scripture says, "But Naaman was wroth and went away." And today, when some hear that God's plan of salvation is not what they thought, do you know they get angry also? They even get angry at those who have taught them the truth. Some have thought that they shall be saved by some direct operation of the Holy Spirit, by praying the sinner's prayer, by faith only, by just ask God to come into their hearts, by grace alone, and on and on. Many people have, I thought, religion. Sadly, so many turn away defiantly and return to their own spiritual doom when the truth is presented to them, and it's not what they thought. Now, Naaman would have gone back to Syria a leper, just as he had come. But one of Naaman's servants, another unnamed hero in this account, persuaded him to lay aside his pride and his preconceived notions and just simply do as God's prophet had instructed. He persuaded, "If the prophet had bid these do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he said to thee, wash and be clean?" So Naaman was persuaded, and he turned back again. He humbled his own will. He sacrificed his pride. He went to the Jordan. He dipped 7 times, and he came out clean with flesh as that of a child. Now let us consider to whom the credit for this healing was given. Nobody would give credit to the waters of the Jordan. Naaman did not. We all know that the power of healing resided with God. Naaman returned to the prophet Elijah, and standing before him, he praised God and said, "Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel." We all know that Naaman did not earn, he did not merit his healing. We know that it was a gift from God, but we also know that the gift was not given to him until Naaman met the prescribed conditions of dipping in the Jordan. He had to obey. Every one of us can see that. We noted earlier, too, that we must humble ourselves and come to the right place, the cross, and enter the Lord's death to be saved. And how does one enter the death of Christ? Listen to what inspiration teaches in Romans 6, 3 and 4. "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." My dear listening friend, it is in baptism that we reach the saving blood of Christ. Oh, someone cries, "But that's water salvation." It is no more or less water salvation than the healing of Naaman was what we might call water healing. The power of salvation is not in the water, but in the Lord. But the power is not applied to our sin-stained souls until we are obedient in baptism, just as the power to heal Naaman was not applied until he obeyed the dipping in the Jordan River. Even when we're baptized, we haven't earned anything. We don't merit salvation. Baptism is not a work of merit. It is a work of obedience, just as Naaman's dipping was. God gave Naaman his health, just like God gives us our spiritual health. And just as there was no way for Naaman to be healed except God's way, so there is no way for us to be saved except God's way. Christ is the author of salvation to them that obey him, Hebrews 5 and verse 9. And while some denounce God's plan as water salvation, let us recall that the inspired Apostle Peter said, "Even baptism doth now also save us," 1 Peter 3 and verse 21. Will we let this record open our hearts to God's way to save us? Will we come to the right person and to the right place with the right price of obedience, following the right plan, and therefore receiving the right power and the right blessing? This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.